Dear brothers and sisters from the local churches and the country to the world or saints worshiping through the internet around the world, GCN viewers. This is the 48th lecture on Genesis. Let me give you a moment to imagine a beautiful scene. Try to imagine yourself in the middle of the scenes and feel it now. You are sitting comfortably on a grassland with beautiful flowers here and there. Let's say you are now in a green lawn and you are sitting very comfortably. In this endless grassland, there are trees with abundant leaves of vivid colors, a warm light, which is like a sunlight of the mild spring day, gently surrounds you. And the light breeze that blows, gently rustling your soft hair. As you look into the sky, it's blue with the bright white clouds floating by. The clouds change their shapes and create the fantastic forms of imagery. As your gaze drops downwards, the clouds seem to be floating on the ground too. Clouds float on the ground as well as in the sky. But with a closer look, you know that they are their reflections on a big lake. The lake is so clear and clean that it seems as if the sky is contained within the lake. As the surface of the lake ripples, beautiful lights sparkle and dance. With this beautiful scene, you gently close your eyes. Okay, everyone, close your eyes. Can't you imagine it? Close your eyes and imagine exactly what I said. Just try it. Then the sweet aroma from flowers in the breeze tickles the tip of your nose. You also hear clear, clean chirps of birds all around you. When a bird sings with a pure whistle, the other birds flower with a beautiful harmony. There seems to be no worries or anxieties. You're always at peace and are always filled with a sense of a serene happiness. Moreover, there are people around you who understand you without saying a word and who can talk to you without any misunderstanding. Everyone, how many misunderstandings do we have, even among the family members in this land? So we have to be careful with every word we say. If we don't, we get hurt, upset, and other thoughts and the feelings get tangled. We all get tired. Even though getting along well, they feel uncomfortable with a single word and hold a grudge. So, in fact, in this land, even if you are family, you cannot open up your heart to each other. Everyone gets hurt easily, feels upset, feels uncomfortable, misunderstands the good words, and argues each other. It's just the small things, but they hold a grudge. But there's nothing like that in heaven. Evil has no form and there's no untruth. So no matter what you say, there's no misunderstanding. A place where you aren't lonely and where you don't feel tired, even if you are with many others. This is the place where you find the true peace. Dear brothers and sisters, don't you just feel more at ease just imagining it? I just described a part of the Garden of Eden in the second heaven. I'm telling about not heaven, but the Garden of Eden. In fact, it's really difficult to describe the Garden of Eden or heaven in words. Even I gathered all beautiful world on the earth, I cannot describe it detail. The beauty, now I'm just describing the Garden of Eden. I can't even describe the paradise. There are books about heaven, but how can they fully express the beauty of heaven? There's nothing on this earth that can be compared to the heaven. The beauty of heaven cannot be compared to this earth. When you hear about the house made from the gold and jewels, but heavenly gold and jewels are totally different from that of this earth. Their color and the light is totally different. And it's so difficult to that it cannot be expressed. Now I'm describing the Garden of Eden, but even the paradise of heaven is so beautiful that cannot be expressed in the earthly language. The first, second, and the third heaven are even more difficult to express. And the New Jerusalem is impossible to describe in language on the earth. Genesis chapter 2, 8 says, "The Lord God planted the garden towards the east in Eden, and there He placed the man whom He had formed." Here the man in this verse refers to the first man, Adam, mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, 7. Adam was created as a living being, and God created the Garden of Eden in the second heaven for him. Now the Bible says that God created the garden towards the east. Does this mean that the Garden of Eden is located in the east of the second heaven? What is the in opposite side of the east? There's a domain where Lucifer and the spirit of darkness dwell. Like this, the second heaven is divided into the two big domains. Then is this the domain of the darkness located in the west of the second heaven? It's not so. Here, the east doesn't refer to the direction. The word south in the Bible does not simply mean to south direction. Then why didn't God just say on the east side or on the right side or not on the left instead of saying towards the east? The east contains a spiritual meaning. It refers to an area surrounded by the light. When we say the east, we do not mean the direction of the east, but the space surrounded by the light is called the east. The sun comes up in the east on the earth. The east is where light begins, a space surrounded by light. The direction where the sun rises on the earth is east. The east is where light begins and is a space surrounded by light. Therefore, so Eden of Garden of Eden is located in east, where descendant of the Adam have lived. Since there is also a realm of darkness, the east represented the realm of light. So in the east there is Eden, where the on the contrary, the space where Lucifer and the evil spirits reside is in the realm of the darkness. So if the east is in the realm of light, does that mean the forces of darkness are in the west? Amen? Don't do that. That's not what it means. It has nothing to do with the direction. The east meaning that Garden of Eden is in a space surrounded by the light. God created the Garden of Eden in the space surrounded by the light. And this is why God the Father opens the space near the sun when He wants to show the Garden of Eden to you. There are quite a few of you who saw the Garden of Eden through the open space inside the sun or near the sun. However, it doesn't mean that Garden of Eden is a place in or around the sun. Moreover, God the Father can open any spiritual space in the sky so that you can see the Garden of Eden. There's a reason that God shows the Garden of Eden through the sun. It shows that the Garden of Eden is the domain which is surrounded by the light by opening the door near the sun. To do this, God opens the Garden of Eden surround the sun and let us see it. If God opens the spiritual space centered on the sun, when you want to see the Garden of Eden, you don't have to search it hard. All you have to do is just look in the sun or near the sun. God called the place where the first man Adam and his descendants will leave the Garden of Eden. The planets of the solar systems are named according to their characteristics. For example, the planet which the second closest the sun is called the morning star. It's also called Venus in English. Venus is the name of the Roman goddess of the love and beauty. It was named because it was so beautiful when it's sparkling in the eastern sky at dawn. In the same way, people named each of the planets according to their characteristics. Then what kind of a meaning does Eden have, which God used to designate the domain of the light in the second heaven? The meaning of the Eden is a peaceful place without death. The meaning of the Eden is a place of peace and no death. And it's always a peaceful place. That's why I let you imagine the Garden of Eden. Just hearing those, it makes you feel peaceful and happy, doesn't it? Eden is a world of light, so there's no sin and therefore no death. Am I explaining heaven right now? No. I'm telling about the Garden of Eden right now, where is the lower place than the paradise.
But
Even though we think of the Garden of Eden, we feel so happy. Heaven is a place where nothing can be compared to paradise. Within Eden, a place was created for Adam and his descendant. It was the Garden of Eden. Even though it is called a garden, you should not be confused with a small garden or a hill. When people think of a garden, they think of a small hill and they think that Eden must also be on this earth. If you truly understand, however, the meaning of God's words, you would know that Eden is a place where there's no death, and the people there continue to have children and live forever. If Eden were the size of Earth, it would be full in just 1,000 years. Noah's 8 descendants quickly populated the earth. Now, countless years have passed since they lived in the Garden of Eden. Where have all those people gone? How do they live? So we need to break the thought that Eden is somewhere on earth. And look at the Bible again. At times, people call a small hill or small place where there are flowers and the trees a garden. Meanwhile, garden means a beautiful place such as using like a dream garden or a children's garden. Therefore, the Garden of Eden means a happy and a peaceful place. So it explains why God called the area which God created for Adam the Garden of Eden. By the way, the size of a Garden of Eden is so huge that the earth cannot be compared to its size. Not even close. The size of a Garden of Eden is incomparable. It's a place so large that we cannot even imagine it with our concepts. The size of a universe in the first heaven is enormous. So how vast and wide would the realm of a light in the second heaven be? More than tens of millions of times larger than the earth? No. It can be expressed in the tens of millions or hundreds of millions of times? The size is beyond our imagination. It's millions of times bigger than the earth. Then just how many people have been born since the first man Adam? If the Garden of Eden were the earth, it would not have taken long for the earth to be populated by then. Therefore, the Garden of Eden cannot be on earth. Just remember, it's so huge that you cannot even imagine its size. The nature of the Garden of Eden operates purely by the power of God. According to the law that God set, the earth operated by the gravity between the sun and moon and the stars, and due to the gravity, seasons change and the signs appear on the earth. Even though there are stars in the second heaven, the stars in the Garden of Eden are not held by the gravity of the stars, but by the power of God. Let me tell you about more about the environment in the Garden of Eden. There's no distinctions between the day and night. It's always a day, just like a heavenly kingdom. And there are no clear transitions from season to season. The temperature and the humidity are always maintained the most proper for man to live. There's no such a things like being hot or being cold. The weather there's optimal, so they can live naked without feeling hot or cold at all. There's no sudden change in weather. However, the temperature may change a little bit. Instead of the distinguished between day and night, the temperature changes determine when to rest and when to be active. Genesis chapter 3:8 mentions about the cool of the day. A dictionary defines a cool as a state when a temperature is low, but not very low. Therefore, when it's cool, the temperature drops down and you may need to wear a thin jacket. The cool conditions of the Garden of Eden are different from those on the earth. Even though the temperature is lower than the day, it's a state when you can feel pleasant as a soft breeze flows. The people of Eden know that it was a time to rest when it's cooler. There's no day or night there, so they distinguished between the resting and the slightly cooler temperatures. On Earth, people return home when it gets dark and the night falls. Likewise, the people in the Garden of Eden recognize the time flow through the change of a temperature. It's because it's always a bright like day in the Garden of Eden. Then where do they take a rest? There are no houses for individuals or families in the Garden of Eden. However, there are beautiful tents in places, and they go in there to take a rest. They don't wear clothing, but live naked. Since they have no evil at all, they are not ashamed. If there's no evil in your heart, you will not feel ashamed when you are naked. Parents who have a 100-day-old baby naked take a picture. Does the baby feel shameful? They don't know what is being shamed. They don't say, "Mom, dress me up. I'm embarrassed." They don't say like this. Even if you see a naked woman, you don't commit adultery. Since there's no sin, there's no adultery and the lust. On this earth, it's just as a child looks pretty and lovely even when he's playing and walking around without clothing. In Korea, when a child's first birthday is celebrated, many of their parents take pictures of the baby without clothing. They aren't ashamed of it or they don't find it strange, but rather think their baby looks so lovely. By the same token, there's no problem even though they all live naked because there's no evil in the Garden of Eden. Everything is beautiful and natural. Then why do we put on the clothes in the heavenly kingdom where there is no evil? I will end my lecture here for today.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.